Attention Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing Onboard NWA.com, your hyperlocal job board crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at onboardnwa.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.
Hello, Northwest Arkansas. Randy here, bringing you a quick word from our sponsor, Signature Bank of Arkansas. Since 2005, Signature Bank has been all about empowering our community with local ownership and top-notch banking services. Signature Bank's roots run deep with assets over $1 billion, and they're right here in your backyard with branches in Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Fayetteville, and now including Harrison and Jonesboro. With a growing family of more than 200 teammates, they're ready to serve you with the warmth only a true community bank can offer. And they've got Banco C, the first bilingual bank in Arkansas, to ensure that banking is for everyone. So give Signature Bank a call at 479-684-3700 or visit signature.bank online. Mention you heard about them on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast for that personal touch. Signature Bank of Arkansas, big on assets, local at heart, and a proud member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn. I'm excited to be with you today. As always, I'm sitting here in the Furman Garner Performance Studio at the esteemed KUAF radio station here in downtown Fayetteville. As you guys know, you hear me say it all the time, we've partnered up with KUAF. We are also on Ozarks at Large every Tuesday, both at 12 noon and at 7 p.m. And if you don't catch that, you can also catch us on the Ozarks at Large podcast for that day as well. And so just honored to be able to share all the stories and things that are happening here in Northwest Arkansas with all of the movers and shakers that are doing things that are, I think, not necessarily different, but just kind of out there doing their thing on a regular basis. And I'm certainly excited today to share my platform with two fine young men, Daniel Mitchell and Trent Sugg from Black Elk Media. They are, I guess I met them through Andrew Gibbs Dabney and Andrew, shout out to Andrew and the team at Lives In. For those of you that know, they are the folks that make pants out of plastic and other eco-friendly materials. But I have several pairs of them and I swear by them. They are some of the most comfortable, most utilitarian pants that I wear. I actually invested in them when they had Kickstarter campaign. He did one of the largest Kickstarter campaigns in Arkansas. And he has not looked back. I think he's done a couple. And anyway, the bottom line is I was at his event when they opened and they're right there at the foot of 8th Street, right beyond the 8th Street Market. And right before you hit the momentary parking lot, you'll see the little Lives In Design store, which is a little house right there at the corner, almost across the street from the Come and Go. But anyway, I met these guys. I met both Daniel and Trent at an event that Lives In was having. And when I put two and two together, I realized these guys are the ones that shoot all the great videos that Lives in Design puts out for their products and just to tell their story. And they're storytellers like I'm a storyteller. And so I said, you know what? I want to have these guys on the podcast so that we can talk a little bit about what they're doing and also why Northwest Arkansas is such a fertile ground for adventure seekers and for those that are kind of living outdoors, if you will. And you guys have been able to capture that on film in a very profound way. And so without further ado, I want to welcome Daniel Mitchell and Trent Sugg to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having us.
Good. Appreciate you having us on.
Oh, absolutely, man. So listen, and I'm excited. So real quickly, just for our audience, I want both of you just to kind of tell your superhero origin story. You can keep it short and sweet. Okay. And then we're going to get into the origination of Black Elk and what you guys are doing. And I'd love to talk a little bit about the campaign that you've worked on with Lives In, and that continues right to this day. So I'd love, because you even have a Lives In hat on. So you're like totally.
We're both rocking Lives In pants today.
I have those pants that you have on. So yeah, I get it. It's all good. So Trent, why don't you go first?
All right. Quick and dirty. Originally born in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Came to school up here at the U of A, which feels like a long time ago now. I never left. I've been absolutely enthralled with Northwest Arkansas and what it has to offer. Mm-hmm. A little bit of background about me. I grew up in the woods outside of Little Rock, so it wasn't not necessarily a city boy by any means. Mm-hmm. So my love of the outdoors came from an early age, and there is no better place in Arkansas to be if you enjoy that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much my quick and dirty background.
I love that. And what about you, Daniel?
Yeah, so I was born in Little Rock, but I spent the first 10 years of my life out in Colorado, actually. My parents moved us to Aurora. So I spent my weekends, thankfully, in the mountains with my parents, just getting me acclimated with the higher elevation out there. And then we moved back to Arkansas, which I remember being bummed about that at first because it was going from the Rockies to, we're going to Arkansas now. And we actually moved to Hot Springs right on the lake. So I went from one, you know, mountain biome to kind of that lake life, you know, and then came up here for school, went to the University of Arkansas. And that's actually where I met Trent, not at school, but during those years.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay. Very cool. So for both of you, was video a passion early on, or was storytelling in some way, shape, or form part of your DNA, or how did you guys get to that space?
Well, I think we have two different stories there for sure. Trent's always been such a phenomenal photographer, but definitely there's storytelling in photography, and he can speak on that. For me, I was always picking up a camera as a kid and doing like Lego stop animation movies. I don't know if that's what Trent was doing, but that's sure what I was doing. And that just kind of developed over the years to maybe something that I wanted to get into.
Yeah.
But neither of us are classically trained in storytelling, filmmaking, photography. I went to school for completely different things.
Wow.
So it really was something that we were passionate about and that we kind of fell into.
Yeah, that's interesting. How about you, Trent?
Mine has just always been a love for photography. I've always been enamored by you can freeze time, that kind of thing. I've always had cameras, always played with them, you know, all the way back to like the old Instax where you'd get the print right there.
Right.
So that was really just my biggest interest. There really wasn't anything more than that for me at the time. And then when I got to college, I took it a little more seriously. I started getting jobs in the wedding industry and that kind of thing.
That's how it starts.
That's how
you dip your toe in.
Yep, that's exactly it. I feel like that's a lot of people's paths. Not everybody, but yeah, it just kind of it turned into more. I was filming or photographing my backpacking trips with one of my college roommates. We used to go all the time. Anytime we could, we'd go backpacking, and I was documenting those and climbing at the time, documenting that, and that was just all for myself. And that kind of just snowballed into getting more jobs, and eventually winding up at a local outdoor company and doing all their content. And then that's where I officially met Daniel.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think the catalyst for all of this was Trent was on staff at Fayetteville, the Ozark Mountain Outfitters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I had a friend that said, hey, I should connect you with Mo from Fayetteville. So he introduced me, and then I did a video project for them. And before I knew it, Trent and I were both working together every weekend for a year there. I mean, it was, I think I did 30 to 40 videos for them that year.
Wow. That's a lot.
We shot a lot of content.
Yeah, a ton of Ozark mountain culture content, athletes, lifestyle stuff. And that's kind of where the conception of Black Elk happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So let's talk Black Elk, since that is kind of the the through line for both of you guys in terms of kind of taking this to another level where you each equally got experience before Black Elk, but then you decided, hey, this kind of makes sense. I like what we're doing. Let's bring this thing together and actually make something. So how did that come about?
It's like most small businesses. It was just a random idea. And I think it happened, to be honest, I think it happened on the back patio of Kingfish.
Okay.
While drinking a pint, you know. But we decided to just jump right in and kind of go full throttle into making a production and photography company. And that was 10 years ago now.
Has it been 10 years?
Yeah, I think that was 20. Yeah. Well, it was approaching 10 years.
Yeah, we were in our early to mid 20s at the time, and there wasn't a whole lot of like forethought. It wasn't like this magical, you know, beautiful thing that we were concocting. It was like, oh, we're going to do this, this, this. These are our goals. This is when we're going to hit these milestones. It wasn't anything like that. It was like, hey, like, I like you, you like me, we like working together, we work well together. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
I think we'll have a lot more fun than being constrained to, you know, one singular thing.
Right.
We can do whatever we want.
Sure.
And I think that was, I think the biggest appeal for me at least was you know, having that freedom to do whatever we wanted creatively. So yeah, I think that was, that's where it all started.
So what would you say about how it's, because it sounds like the entrepreneurial ecosystem, and I'm speaking specifically of the outdoor, the, you know, University of Arkansas has a whole program dedicated to outdoor businesses.
Right.
Ideas in the outdoors. They're totally focusing on that. I had Phil Schellhammer here on the podcast who works in that program at the University of Arkansas. But tell me, what was it? I mean, it seems like it was just the perfect time for you guys to jump into this space. Talk about how that kind of all kind of fell together.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it was like perfect time, perfect place for us to kind of get into that niche. I feel like Fateshill kind of really capitalized on that in the early days.
Yeah. I mean, they were some of the earliest to trying to present the Ozarks, you know, to the rest of the world and put it on the world stage. And I mean, I feel like Arkansas has always been a big draw, especially Northwest Arkansas with the Buffalo National River. It being a national park, it's always been a big draw for outdoor enthusiasts. There's always a lot of hunting here, always has been, but it really wasn't like in your face, you know, it wasn't cool. Like, oh, I went, you know, and did this climbing this weekend, you know, no one really cared. It wasn't idealized, I think, like it is now.
Sure.
But it just, like I said, right place, right time. With the Fayetteville caveat, it just kind of exploded. And then now with everything that the Waltons are doing to promote the outdoors and companies like Lives In, I think it's really exploded. And it really is just like, it's a cool thing to do.
Right.
Well, it was interesting because we talk about this a lot when we're on the road, because we'll do up to 100 days a year traveling for projects as well.
That's why you got that funky camper, man. Yeah. That camper is, I wish we had, you'll have to send me some pictures of that to share with the show notes. But folks, you got to see this camper. It is decked out. It's all laid out both on the electronic side of things with all the gear and equipment, but then also just really, it looks super comfortable. So
that is our lifeline.
It's the noble steed. Yeah. It's the fifth member of our team for sure.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah,
and shout out to Van Duit.
Yeah,
by the way, great company.
Van Duit.
They're the ones that built it out. They're based out of Kansas City, so not too far.
Okay.
But they have been so good to us. And again, that thing is our lifeline.
Yeah.
So yeah, when we're on the road and people are like, oh, you're from Northwest Arkansas. In the last 10 years, that is,
I would say,
changed. Yeah, 5 years even. Yeah. It used to not be recognizable, or you'd get the jokes like, oh, so dirt floors, no internet, whatever. And you're like, okay, now when we say it, they're like, oh, you're Northwest Arkansas?
Right.
Like biking capital of the world. I know that place.
Exactly. It's becoming recognized nationally as an outdoor hub, which for us, when we were at Fayetteville, you know, at the base of Kessler, I remember when they first started putting a mountain biking trail back there and people saying, hey, they just put a mountain biking trail. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, I guess, you know. And to look at where it was then and where it is now, and just the outdoor culture here across the board has just grown exponentially. And it's not going to slow down.
I don't think so. Well, I mean, we have the topography, we have the land, we have the area. But then, like you said, Trent, I mean, the Waltons and others have said, hey, we're doubling down on this area. So just like they're doing, like Alice Walton is doubling down in the healthcare space, you know, there is a significant investment in the outdoors. and outdoor activities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, we're not called the natural state for no reason.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's just something about it. And when you can usurp a place like Colorado, who, when you think of Colorado, you know, and I'm a little older than you guys, but whenever I thought of Colorado, I always thought about, man, there's the Rockies and just rugged and outdoors and machismo and all that. And now you can almost have that same conversation about Northwest Arkansas, because you've got boating outlets, you've got hiking outlets, you've got all of these different athletic events that are happening here, these strongman events, these, you know, what, 1,000-mile cycling rides, all the gravel riding that takes place.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, it goes on and on and on.
So. There's an abundance of stuff to do here in the outdoors.
Yeah. A whole, I mean, the only thing we're missing out on is snow.
Yeah.
Snow sports.
And we just had a little bit of that.
At the time
of recording this is a couple of days after we had like our little snowpocalypse.
Right.
And the only challenge with that really for us, and this is talking from the perspective of someone that was in Boston for 17 years, we're just not equipped to deal with it.
No.
Like I literally walked out my door yesterday morning and it was a sheet of ice.
Yeah.
No salt anywhere to be found. And it was not, my wife and I were about to go and do our workout at 6 a.m. And we were like, oh no,
not
we're
happening.
Going right back on the Peloton.
No, the way you can tell if an area is equipped is if people are shoveling their driveways.
Right.
Oh yeah, no.
No one gets out.
No one gets out. And now we're past that. We've had rain. We've kind of cleaned all that. Like, there's almost no reminder that you had snow. So So, which is cool. And that's what I like, because we could hit 60 degrees this weekend and we might actually hit it on Friday. Mm-hmm. On the day of recording this. And, you know, it's interesting to see how quickly things will change. And all of a sudden we're back outside. We're back outdoors. We're back out taking advantage of what's there. People will be hiking in Devil's Den this weekend.
Yep.
It'll be a little muddy and a little messy, but they'll still be out there taking advantage of.
Yeah, waterfalls will be running too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, and it's funny because I actually had I've had a couple of other outdoor companies on the podcast, and including And I'm just drawing a blank right now. But what I have found is that, you know, some people here need direction about what they can do to take advantage of the outdoors. You guys have kind of been there and done that, seen a little bit of everything, and you've recorded it as well.
Oh, yeah.
How does that impact how the decisions that you make about the work that you do and or want to do? Right. I mean, because, again, you've been around this for a while. 10 years is that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, you guys have already eclipsed the mark of making it beyond a certain period of time. I mean, the average small business, you know, they don't, you know, they'll start and 5 years later, they don't even exist. You guys have doubled that and it looks like you're on your way. I mean, how do you continue to manifest that and make sure that you continue to evolve and do really interesting things?
Well, so the thing I think that really helped us was our ability to adapt. And if you look at the company that we were 10 years ago, kind of like what Trent was saying, there weren't the processes, there weren't the dedication to like setting goals. It was like really very kind of the dirtbag climber scene. You know, like I have a camera. I know if I know how to take photos or videos, someone will pay me for it. When we started applying strategy to things and linking up with other community members, with companies like Livzen and brands like that, that's when things really started to click. And it actually took until the pandemic, when there was a lot of time to kind of sit there and think about things. The first 4 months of the pandemic, we were sitting around just saying, hey, how's it going over there?
Yeah, right.
And then we went, wait a second, we do outdoor content. Like this is the safest place to be right now.
Yeah.
And still work.
And still work and still provide for our families and our employees. And so we just really started leaning into the outdoor segment, and it's just been crazy for us. Like we've been, like I said, on the road at least 100 days a year, the last 2 to 3 years. We've been doing projects in California, Washington, Utah, Colorado, Mexico. We just got back from Canada a couple of weeks ago, or I guess a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So it is cool to be able to go and do projects in other places around the nation and the outdoor space. But it's also, it gives us more perspective for when we come home, because we're seeing what everyone else is doing. And then we're seeing the gym that we have here. So when we do work for the state, we do some stuff for parks and tourism.
Sure.
It's knowing how to capture the really special things about Arkansas and sharing that with everyone else. So,
and you guys are uniquely qualified to do that compared to maybe bringing an outside production company in, because this is your backyard.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Not to say that you've captured the market, but I mean, you guys have a lot of practice.
No, and it's, you know, to speak on what Sherman was talking about earlier, he kind of glanced over it. He was talking about backpacking in college. Like, him and his buddies were doing the whole Ozark Highlands Trail a few times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times now.
How long is that trail?
It was 165. I think it's like 180 something now. They're adding another section to it. Eventually, they've talked about connecting it to the Ozark Trail, which is in Missouri.
Yep.
And I think it would be total, like, I'm probably misquoting this, but 600 miles, I think, total. We've done the Buffalo River Trail multiple times. That one's 60. But yeah, so like, just for us, I think, you know, like what you were saying, we do know where most places are and or how to get to
them. The nooks and crannies.
You know, and what really does make this state special. Like, you see pictures of Hawksbill Crag over and over and over and over again. But there's so many cool places here that need to be represented and showed to other people. And most people just don't know how to get to them.
Sure.
Like what you were saying, or how to access these places. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll hike in equipment. We had a project this past spring or May. Yeah, it was like May, I think, out on the Buffalo. And it was, you know, a 7.5 mile hike round trip. And we're talking 6-7 man crew, all of our gear, lights, you know, full production. And that's kind of what our niche is right now, is being able to get our team into hard to reach locations. And the van helps with that too.
Sure.
Yep. So,
absolutely.
Yep. That is definitely our niche, is getting our crew in, being able to get the best content we can in places that are hard to get to.
So are people beating down your doors now to work with you, or how are you continuing to get the word out? I mean, granted, you guys actually won an award recently, right? For some video work that you've done.
Yeah, so, and there's some backstory to that too. But yeah.
Tell us about that.
I'll let you take lead on that one.
Yeah. So, well, to answer your first question, it's kind of like what we were talking about off mic earlier. There's always a slow time every winter, but it's been word of mouth up to this point, and just our work being out there and other people saying, hey, who did this project, and connecting us with them. So we end up getting really, really busy for 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So the project that you mentioned, though, was one of those really special projects where we didn't know what we were getting into when we started it. And I'm sure you can speak on this too with storytelling. Like, sometimes you see something different in your head, and then you meet the person or you experience the person and you're like, oh, this is not what I expected, but there's something special here, right?
Yeah.
So Lizen had actually contacted us about doing a documentary to launch their women's pant. And so they said, do you know anyone who embodies that we could potentially have be our subject? And we had a friend from Instagram, as many millennials do now, just someone we connected with on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, we had tried to actually use her as talent for a previous job the year before.
Right.
And we connected through that.
Yeah. And it just fell through because of timing. So we ended up, long story short, we went out to Colorado to spend a couple days with the subject. Her name's Dani Reyes Acosta, and she's an athlete and storyteller. So we went, and the whole crew was there. We lived with this woman basically for 4 days and captured what it meant to her to live a well-worn life. Didn't think really anything of it. Put the piece together. It took a couple months, a lot of iterations, a lot of boiling down a 4-hour interview into a compact 6-minute edit, right? And
that's the hardest part.
It is the hardest part.
It's totally the hardest part. Which is one reason why when I do these, I don't edit much, because I like to just include it all.
Yeah, just keep it in there.
But you can't always do that.
No, you know? Not for
what you're doing.
No, not for what we're doing usually. So we put together this short doc, and then Kelsey, the producer, who is Livson's marketing director, was like, I'm going to go ahead and just submit this to some film festivals. And we were like, okay, cool. And as you know, like what Trim was talking about earlier, when you do a project, sometimes you don't want to look at it for a while because you've been in it for so long.
Yeah.
So Kelsey started sending emails to us. Hey, we got into this festival. And I'm like, oh, cool. I don't know what festival that is. It'd be a tiny one here or there.
I think it was New York.
Yeah.
The first one was New York.
Yeah. Some tiny festival in New York that was all online, I'm pretty sure. So over time, the festival entries started growing and they started becoming more prestigious. And eventually we got into Mountain Film in Colorado, where we screened last May, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that was huge, being able to go and represent Lives In, represent Black Elk, represent Arkansas.
Trifecta there.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing on one of the most prestigious outdoor film festivals in the US. So with that, things started continuing because it's kind of a, you know, momentum gets built. We made it into the Bentonville Film Festival, which was great to be in the hometown, sure, or in a home region festival. We screened in the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which was great. And then we got the call that was kind of a goal that we did set early on in the company.
It was, yeah, not for that film. That was, I think, the biggest shock. It wasn't that film. Like, we never thought that that film would have gone as far as it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are you going to give the backstory on why that's special to us?
Yeah. Well, so we got a call about, hey, you made it into the Banff Mountain Film Festival. And that was huge because Banff was one of the big catalysts for, it was one of the driving forces for us to do what we're doing right now. And that's just because the world tour would travel to Fayetteville and screen some of their favorite documentaries.
Yeah.
And so back in like 2015 or so, we were still in college, mm-hmm, around that age. So it's towards the end of college. I went and Trent went, we caught one of the world tour screenings and it was just like, man, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Someday I want to present a film to a crowd of people. And just, that's the goal. So getting the call from Banff saying, hey, you made it into the Banff Mountain Film Festival was huge.
Yeah.
Tying that in with the connection with Lives In and being able to do it with a brand that we've been partnered with since they started was really special too. But we went up to Canada and again, got to represent Arkansas, Black Elk, Lives In, among other things.
Yeah.
So it was just a really special experience and kind of just a milestone for Black Elk, I think.
Sure, sure.
I'm going to pat ourselves on the back a little more on this. Like, you know, it was really special for us to get in, right? In any level.
Yep.
But to get to go on stage and present it was surreal at Banff, in Banff. And not only did we make the Banff tour or the Banff festival, which I think there was 300 films that were selected for that, or 250, yeah, something like that. So we made that cut. And then we also made the cut of 30 to 25, mm-hmm, of those that goes on the world tour.
Wow.
So now our film is on the world tour, 15,000 showings.
Yeah, so it's we're on the Mountain Film World Tour and the Banff World Tour. So all of this year, there will be over, it's like 1,500 screenings in 50 countries. Mm-hmm. And it'll actually be screened in 18 different languages.
Man.
So
golly, you talk about hitting the mother load with that.
It was very special for us.
Yeah.
It was definitely
still kind of
awesome.
Surreal talking about it.
So is it on YouTube or is
not
it?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, okay. Very soon.
So, very soon.
It would have been on YouTube had the ice and snow not hit us so hard.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So is it the kind of thing where that you can't release it to the general public until a period of time?
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually festivals ask that you don't have stuff out there that's accessible, yeah, like that, like free online. So mm-hmm, there's a soft date for release in February.
Okay.
We had to push the release back. So very soon, you'll be able to watch that.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know because I want to make light of that and let folks know in our community so we can support you guys and,
yeah,
you know, get those viewing counts up, right?
Yes, right.
So you guys can hit a couple of million on that.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and it's also, that's the first of many to come, hopefully.
Okay.
A lot of what we do now is commercial work, but the branded storytelling side, being able to tell stories for brands, especially in the outdoor industry, is what we're really focusing on for the next
Foreseeable future.
Yeah, foreseeable future.
I mean, if I could do documentary outdoor filmmaking for the rest of my life, I'd be happy.
You'd be happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And, you know, and it's the funny when I'm thinking about it, that's like one area where, you know, you have some security, right? In terms of like AI is not going to swoop in and, you know, it's just not.
No, maybe
just
when the robots can walk.
Right. So no. And I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek, but the reality is that I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, we can just ChatGPT it and figure it out. But there's just certain things you can't do.
Right. Sure.
And that's, I'd like to think that what we're doing right here, having this conversation, it's not easily replicatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, without somebody that has a certain understanding or nuance to how these conversation should happen in the first place. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Fingers
crossed. We'll see how it goes from there. So that's all exciting. And so tell me, what are you, I mean, one of the things that I heard you say, Daniel, that really stood out to me, and I want to make sure our listeners are hearing this, is that you had a strategy that you followed. You didn't just kind of blindly say, oh, I'm going to go out and, as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur, I can appreciate that because Lord knows you need to have a plan.
Absolutely.
And you need to have an idea about how you're going to execute that plan in order to ultimately see it come to fruition and to create the ability for your organization or whatever you're creating to have some staying power. And clearly you guys have demonstrated that you have staying power. So what is the next iteration or step for you guys at Black Elk? And what are you hoping to accomplish? Are we going to start seeing some Nissan Pathfinder commercials from you guys? Or,
yeah,
you
know, the next step is we've really been testing stuff the last 3 years and getting a lot of practice essentially on what it's like to do these off the grid productions for various brands, right?
Yeah.
Our work isn't always in the outdoor space. It can be centered around the outdoors. We did some work for Collins Aerospace recently and shot the newest, what is it?
It's the NASA, it's the new suit, that not the flight suit, but the one that they use when they do like the spacewalks.
Sure.
Yeah, that suit.
Okay.
Yeah, so we
that
actually-
That must have been fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Surreal.
Yeah, so it's working with a mock-up suit because the real one's like $80 million. So we had a high level.
Wait, how much did you say?
It's like $80 million, I think, for
definitely
the.
Definitely more expensive than a pair of Lives and pants.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I love it. I don't think it lasts as long either. Yeah.
It's funny because I was watching The Martian last night. It's like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And when she jumps in the suit to go out to try to collect Matt Damon's character towards the end, you know, you look at all of that equipment and you're like, man, that stuff is super expensive.
Yeah.
Like $80 million just puts it in perspective.
Oh, so, no, absolutely. Yeah. And so that's why they don't send that suit to the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. But where was I going with this? Oh, so just the future is essentially two channels for us. It's the continuing to grow the branded commercials in the outdoor space. So I wouldn't write off a Nissan commercial.
There we go.
Or a GMC or Jeep commercial. That's the goal, is to get to that level. And then the other side is the branded storytelling. And we say that a lot, and some people are confused by what that means. Essentially, if you look at some of these large brands that are in the outdoor space, like Patagonia, North Face, Yeti, they spend a lot of their marketing budget on doing long form and short form storytelling.
It's the greatest, what people remember.
They get bought into the brand, right?
It's not overly focused on a product. It's not trying to sell you something. It's a lifestyle piece.
Exactly.
You know?
So the goal is to grow that area, which will definitely ride the wave of the Well-Worn Life documentary. But the best part about being able to go and screen something like that in those places is the connections that you made and can make. So it was really special. Both Trent and I went to Canada.
Okay.
It was myself.
Banff is beautiful.
Yeah, Banff is beautiful. It's unreal. We were both in Canada for that. And then Logan, who is one of our team members, he's our cinematographer. He was with myself at Mountain Film. And that was really special for a lot of reasons. Just being able to meet other filmmakers in the outdoor space. There's also a budding amount of like BIPOC filmmakers that I was able to connect with. We actually had a meeting with about 20 of us where we were able to just talk about what it's like to be in the industry, but also just to be like, hey, I'm here, you're here, let's make cool stuff. So
representation matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, that's the future, is those two things. And we're going full steam towards both of them right now.
Okay.
Which the strategy was to build a team. And I think that our team is definitely one of our strong suits. Every person on our team is just kind of like a perfect puzzle piece that's kind of just fallen into place. And we're expanding right now, too. So
so you're hiring?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So
how many people do you have right now?
Four.
Four.
Yep.
Okay.
Four full-time. And then we'll probably be bringing on another full-time producer soon. And then we work with an array of contractors for different things.
And that's what allows you to kind of ramp up and scale back when you need to.
Because
the last 2 months have been slow, but things are about to pick up February, March, April, May.
Yeah, so, we're going to be moving.
Yeah, so I get it. I mean, And I think that's important. You know, I mean, I'm excited because you guys are representing Northwest Arkansas and, you know, giving, using your platform to help, you know, get the word out about this area, right? In addition to everything that you're doing, I mean, you're doing that. And yeah, I think absolutely. That's really important. What would you say to someone that's on the cusp of considering a job here in Northwest Arkansas, wants to move here? I mean, both of you guys have been here for, you've been here long enough that you can speak about it. I feel like I can speak about it, right? I've been here almost 9 years and, you know, I can speak intelligently about why Northwest Arkansas, but what would you say to someone thinking about moving here? What would your advice be or guidance?
I mean, just do it. Cause I mean, where else, what is growing like this?
Yeah,
there is. Yeah. We're fortunate enough to travel a ton and see a lot of places. Nothing is growing like Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like you can't touch it. And it's everybody here is super laid back. The culture is great. And the more and more businesses that keep getting brought here is staggering.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of jobs to be had. Wonderful. I mean, sometimes wonderful weather and just, yeah, the outdoor recreation alone. I mean, it's a little mini Colorado.
Right.
You know, so yeah, just a wonderful place to be, a great time to be here because it's only going to continue to accelerate in growth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Daniel, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. For me, because this conversation comes up a lot, actually.
Oh, I'm sure.
With friends, you know, having moved away or people, actually my older brother's on the fence about moving down here right now. So I'll send this to him with the answer. He's in Chicago. So he's been like, I visited and I love it, but I just can't make the jump because I have all these big city amenities or these big city attractions, right? And I'm like, what are you into? And he's like, I'm into this. And I'm like, we have that. Like, what are you into? I'm into music. We have music. What are you? We don't have the traffic like big cities. Mm-mm. What's special to me though is that I've never been here ever and been like, man, I need to go somewhere else to get something.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
It feels like a walkable neighborhood to me.
Sure.
The whole region,
yep.
You know,
yep.
It's collaborative. I feel like people are extremely supportive of each other. It's a place where I feel safe.
Yeah.
But there's something special about being able to be in one of our urban areas and then within 45 minutes, if that yeah. be,
oh.
and just the rural, beautiful yep. Ozarks, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what I would say to someone is that don't knock it till you try.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree, man. And there's just so much about this area that makes it special. And like I said, I go toe to toe with all my friends on the left coast and on the east coast. And I'm like, listen, we've got great chefs. I'll put any of these 100%. Matt Cooper, Elliot Hunt, you know, Jason Paul. Yeah. I mean, you know, we just super talented Chef Raphael. And I mean, there's just so many, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why those guys are here. And part of it is, too, is that they're able to utilize the land resource that we have to provide some of their menu.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's big, you know? And so, and it's funny, I was looking at some of the work that you guys have done, and I'll put a link in the show notes to everything. And I didn't realize that you guys had done some work with Ozark Natural Foods, which, you know, shout out to them. But you guys have worked with everybody. Opus Campers, you mentioned Arkansas Parks and Tourism, Trailblazers, which used to be Bike NWA, so many organizations, ULI, Northwest Arkansas, which I've emceed some of their programs, Goddard Design Group. I mean, just a little bit of everything. And I think that it's important to recognize that storytelling in Northwest Arkansas is only going to continue to grow.
Yes. Definitely.
And so, you know, organizations like Black Elk and others are basically, this is a fertile ground.
Absolutely.
It definitely is.
Yeah. For you to take advantage of that.
Where I don't think you can get this anywhere else.
I don't
especially
either.
In our industry, because so many people are picking up cameras these days. There's so many run and gun videographers that can do a lot, you know, with a one man band. Say like you were trying to do this in LA. You're just another blip on the map.
Absolutely.
But we're just in such a unique area and, you know, unique time to where we can really, really strive here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something I'll add that I think is really interesting. And I'm sure you can get this in other areas, but not to this effect. A lot of people ask us like, hey, like you asked earlier, like, how are you getting business? How does the outreach happen? I can't tell you how many times I go to just the grocery store, a coffee shop to grab a beer and I'm just there, honestly, to go to the grocery store, coffee shop, or grab a beer.
Right.
And it ends up being someone I bump into that says, hey, you, let me introduce you to this person.
Right.
Or what do you do? Oh, you do that? Do you know this person?
Boom. Right.
The access to the network here is, it's in my mind, very easy to build your network compared to some other places.
It's not too big, not too small.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. Literally perfect. Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's Goldilocks.
And just as you say, to your point, as I was sitting here talking about it, and I don't know why I didn't see this before, I was like, you know, the first thing I was thinking, because I'm actually on the board of Ozark Natural Foods. So for me, I was like, oh man, we need to get with you guys to have you capture a little bit of what we're doing. But I see you've already done that. So shout out to Lisa and the rest of her team.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're great to work with.
And all of the work that they're doing. But I mean, I can see, I actually, in my mind, I've had other people on this podcast that could probably benefit from some time with you, even if it's a half day shoot or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, send them our way.
Yeah. Well, we will. We will for sure. Make no mistake about it. So when all is said and done and you've put the camera down for the day, and what do you guys like to do here in Northwest Arkansas when you're not, you know, running through the trails and what have you, just to kind of, besides you got families.
Yes.
So that takes up a lot of your time, as we mentioned before. But what else do you like to do here in Northwest Arkansas?
I'm a foodie, so.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Favorite restaurant?
Oh,
I know it's going to put you in trouble with somebody, but.
Yeah, no. I mean, the spot I really like right now, and it, people who know me are going to say I'm being biased because my younger brother works there, but Heirloom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He works at Heirloom?
Yeah.
He also.
Heirloom and Pinky Swear.
Pinky Swear is good, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I had a kimchi pizza there that just killed me.
And there's sauces for those pizzas?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, if you want a quick bite and a good cocktail, then. Pinky Swear right now is definitely my guilty pleasure.
Yeah. What about you?
Man, I mean, getting outside and chasing the kids. That's pretty much what I enjoy doing up here. And there's so many cycling opportunities as well.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
mean, we dabble in mountain biking.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to, I feel like. It's a freak.
I've done it a little bit. My kids did NICA. They rode and, they're trying to get more BIPOC and people of color involved in mountain biking. And I think that's kind of cool. And so my kids enjoyed it. They still like traditional sports, but that was a great experience for them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
To do several NICA races. And I'd like to get out. I was a marshal for one race at Centennial. Okay. I think I went around on the big course. I went around like 11 times that night. I was as sore as I know.
I bet.
It was a lot.
I believe it.
I was super sore. I was like, man, it was a workout.
Yeah, that
11 laps of Centennials.
Yeah. It was a workout. Moving. Yeah, it was a workout. So, but well, listen, I really appreciate if people that are listening to this are like, I want to connect with Daniel and Trent. What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, so informally, Instagram's great. I do a ton of messaging on Instagram.
And your Instagram is at?
Yeah, it's at Black Elk Dan.
B-L-K.
Yep.
K.
Yes.
E-L-K. Dan.
Yep. Dan. Okay. D-A-N. And then Trent. His is pretty easy to remember.
Got Sug Photo. Yeah. That's my old photography company name. I've just kept it.
Yeah. Got Milk. Got Sug.
But the company has one as well. Black Elk Media. We do a lot of communication through there.
And we'll put all that in the show notes because I want people to connect with you guys. And certainly anybody listening to this, any of the I Am Northwest Arkansas tribe, if you decide to do something with these guys or just want to encourage them and say, hey, keep going and keep pushing forward. We certainly want to have you guys reach out to them. Let them know that you heard about them here first on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I think that would be tremendous. And to Daniel's point, our goal is always to uplift and support each other in this area. I mean, it's not a competition.
Nope.
You know, there's plenty to go around.
Absolutely.
And I think that mindset is going to serve Northwest Arkansas well as we grow into that 1 million people that we're supposed to have by 2045.
Yep, definitely. I couldn't agree more. And that's, we totally feel that all the time, how collaborative all this
is. Yeah, I mean, it's about that. I mean, hey, we all like making money, but I think there's just a lot of tremendous opportunities out there. And I think at the rate that we're going and our cadence in terms of growth, I think that we're going to do really well. And they're going to be a place to look towards where people will give, say, as an example, this is how you want to grow a region. And this is what makes Northwest Arkansas so special.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's it. I mean, I could, that's kind of a mic drop comment. So we'll leave it at that. But listen, Daniel Mitchell, Trent Sugg from Black Elk Media, I really appreciate you guys coming down and connecting with me. And I mean, again, you didn't know me from Adam, but I just met you in the back of your camper as I was like, hey, man, I want to do a podcast episode with you guys. But I figured any friend of Daniel And Andrew is a friend of mine. So, you know, and again, I'm a huge fan of Lives in Design. If anybody listening to this has not checked out their store, does not have a pair of their pants, you need to go check them out. In addition to all that, the fact that you are giving back to the environment and in terms of utilizing the pants that you purchase from them, I think it's huge. And so, and I just want to see these guys be big. I've got a Patagonia jacket on right now as we're recording this, but it's because I believe in what they're all about.
Yep, right.
And in the same way with Andrew Gibbs Dabney and the other Andrew, which is super confusing at times, Lives In is doing some amazing things in this area. And I'm not just saying that because I invested in them. I'm saying that because they are the embodiment of what I believe the entrepreneurial spirit is here in Northwest Arkansas, as are you guys. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, man. And, you know, who knows, maybe one day I'll see you guys on the red carpet at the Oscars. You know, getting something for a documentary. You know what they say? You got to speak those things that aren't as though
Absolutely.
So I'm calling it out there into existence. And
appreciate that.
And I believe that you guys will have tremendous success. So Daniel Mitchell, Trit Sugg from Black Elk Media, thank you guys both so very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
It's an honor.
Yeah. Absolutely. For sure. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. We hope you enjoyed that. Check out those guys at Black Elk Media and see what they're doing. Check out some of their videos, or you can just go to our show notes and take a closer look at all the amazing work that these guys are doing. Certainly support them. If you connect with them at any point in time in the future, let them know that you heard about them first here at the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Remember, our podcast comes out every Monday, rain or shine. We'll see you next week with another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IAMNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.